In the last episode of New Year's Death, the New Year's Eve coterie came together after a long and frenzied night apart. Quinn received a foreboding premonition. Scandalous meetings were divulged, and Amelie and LJ found common ground in their desire to ally with a group of hunters and overthrow the Camarilla. And Quinn was alarmed at the hubris of their coterie mates. The coterie then traveled to LJ's childhood home, where he faced the specters of his past and had a heart-rending reunion with his mother that ended in LJ healing the effects of Isabella's fleshcrafting and erasing the encounter from his mother's mind. The single next step that our coterie agreed on is finding LJ's mortal sister. There are many sects and conspiracies in the world of darkness, the foremost kindred ones being the Camarilla, the Anarchs, and the Sabbat. The Second Inquisition is the mortal conspiracy that poses the greatest threat to kindred in modern nights. Each of these factions has their own agendas, backed by ideologies that support the idea of their perspective on the world being the right one. Young kindred are thrust into a world of powerful institutions with an interest in maintaining their power and secrecy at almost any cost. As in the story of Theseus and the Minotaur, it takes a mix of alliances, strength, and boldness to make it through triumphantly. And choosing the wrong friends can be just as bad as having no friends at all. With that in mind, let's sink our fangs into episode 15, Labyrinthian. A long and perilous Monday night ended with the coterie parting ways to hunt and make miscellaneous preparations for the next night. We fade in on a waning moon hanging over Belmont Harbor, just a handful of nights past the full moon. Moonlight shines through a momentary break in the gray winter clouds above Lake Michigan, like strands of celestial spider silk. The ancient waters of the Great Lake are covered in a snow-frosted sheet of ice. A number of luxurious yachts are dry-docked in cradles on shore, but a single, large white yacht is still notably moored in the water. La Belle Époque, Bijou's yacht, is coated in winter's vestments. Last night, after visiting LJ's childhood home and parting ways with the coterie, Quinn set up a meeting for this night with their sire.
While I'm on my way there, I'm going to take out my new phone. Mm-hmm. Because I have something that's been on my mind for a while. Mm-hmm. But I want to Google what the castle is that I saw LJ being carried into.
There is a particular castle that you very quickly see, the Givens Castle. Ugh. On the far south side, modeled after a castle in Ireland.
That's the one. Huh.
You reach the scene that I described of Belmont Harbor. You see that Kobayashi, Bijou's head of security, is waiting for you in sort of like a black sort of peacoat type jacket. He says, "Good evening, Mix Pierce. Your sire awaits you in the parlor."
Thank you.
He escorts you to a living room of elegant red sofas arranged in a square around a number of... Bijou is lounging on the farthest sofa, dressed in a long white fur coat that is contrasted by red eyeshadow and lipstick. She greets you with a warm smile.
I tentatively smile back. Hi, Bijou.
Hello, Quinn.
How are you?
I was doing quite well this evening, but it seems... something is weighing on your mind, my dear. Please, come in, have a seat.
Thank you. I go in and sit down.
Sort of pats the sofa like right next to her.
Yeah. Lots of things are on my mind, actually.
Would you mind making a composure plus subterfuge roll? This is not anything that is conscious that Quinn is doing.
Mm-hmm. One Ankh with stars and one skull.
Okay, one Ankh with stars and one skull.
She has so many.
I'm so sorry.
Avalanche.
I feel a little lost, kind of. Like something's missing, but I don't know exactly what. And also just panicked about, like, what my coterie was saying last night.
Yeah.
And all of the information. So I'm like a little cocktail of anxiety just sitting there.
What's on your mind, Quinn?
Something happened last night. I don't... it didn't feel like it was crazy, you know? Like, I felt amazing. But then afterward, it just started feeling like something was gone.
She nods as you speak. And she says, was this your first time taking a life?
Taking a life? No, he was dead.
So you didn't kill him?
No. LJ did. Well, LJ and Amelie did.
LJ and Amelie did. Amelie, I know. We, kindred, each have our own convictions that ground us to our humanity, and sometimes when we deny those convictions, it can stain the soul. It can sully who we are, so to speak. And even though the pleasure of drinking a mortal to the fullest, or in your case, with your unique appetite, what I gather is that the euphoria of ridding yourself of hunger for the first time felt good, as it should.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that you are deeply troubled.
It was great. I mean, I thought it was. It was like eating pure light, almost. And then there was this whole thing where I saw all of these memories. Oh, and I saw this castle, and it was in Chicago. I looked it up. It's Givens Castle. And like, I somehow knew that, like, it was a bad place when I saw it.
Quinn, when you say eating light, memories, you see a flicker of something in Bijou's eyes. Make me a wits awareness roll.
One Ankh.
A look of horror blossoms on her face like a drop of black ink in a pool of water. And then you see, shortly after, the precise moment that the light behind Bijou's eyes dies. And you are face to face with the beast. Long fangs extend from red lips, and an inhuman hiss escapes her mouth. She rises to her feet, looming over you with a beast at the wheel. And as you lock eyes with her, you see a flash of self-awareness in your sire's eyes that allows Bijou to hurl themselves towards the exit of the parlor, out onto the main deck of the ship. The doors flung open. Huh? Masculine voice gasps in surprise and is quickly silenced by the sound of tearing flesh.
Oh my god.
Followed shortly thereafter by a thud.
What? What have I done?
A long moment later, Bijou.
Before she re-enters, can I look around and see if there's anything to throw?
Absolutely. There is, the first thing is those like little balls in the basket. It's like a vase of like flowers.
I'm gonna stand by it.
Mm-hmm. You see that this is Bijou. The frenzy has ended. I beg your pardon. I felt it coming on and thought it best to ride the wave rather than doing something I'd regret.
My eyes widen at that, and I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna nod.
Mm-hmm. Some things shouldn't be risked.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a key detail that I neglected to inquire about regarding your ordeal. Was this individual that your coterie mate killed a kindred?
No. Oh my god. Was he?
A deep breath is drawn into her dead lungs completely unnecessarily. And she releases it. And sits back down on the couch. And says, "My darling Quinn, it seems that you have committed the amaranth."
The amaranth?
True diablerie.
I didn't mean to. I did it by accident.
I believe you, Quinn. And I do apologize for the mess, but please have a seat.
I'll sit down.
She dabs at the blood on her face, gently with her fingers, licks it off one finger. I did not foresee this. I did not foresee this. Ironic, I suppose, for one of the oracles, but nonetheless.
So this is like really bad, then?
Very solemnly, she looks at you and says, "It is. It is the ultimate taboo and highest crime of kindred society. And if we do not handle this, both you and I, as your sire, will be blood hunted. An order from the prince to be put to the final death."
Oh my god.
Turns over and she kisses your forehead. We will get through this.
And one more thing. But that castle I mentioned, I saw in that memory, LJ was being carried into it by some sort of monster. And I think it might be maybe connected to the Sabbat.
What makes you think that?
He told me he met with...
He met with a bishop.
A bishop?
Gwyn, it seems that I misjudged how dangerous putting you into this coterie would be. You can see... Sort of gradually coming out of that sort of processing mode shell, looking back to you and says, both of these bits of information could potentially be leveraged into a major boon from the prince. I would very much like it if the fools that have taken up membership in your coterie would be bloodhunted for their foolishness. It is dangerous to have blowback from them fall upon you now more than ever. We must act soon.
I have a bowling championship on Saturday. And I think something's going to go really wrong. I mean, I think. But I had a premonition, or I was trying to get a premonition to find Stella, although I don't fully understand how to direct that, I guess, and instead I just saw Rachel, and Rachel is the captain of the bowling team, and I don't want them involved.
Make a wits awareness roll.
I keep dropping truth bombs on her. I have so much information.
I've got my bowling tournament. It can wait.
It cannot wait. They're not gonna...
No, not the bowling tournament.
Oh, okay.
Everything else can wait. The blunt hunt and all that. Yeah, that can wait.
Oh, yeah.
Tournament first.
Tournament first. I can't lose those guys. They're my family. One Ankh with stars and one Ankh.
Ah, that like Bijou is really trying really hard to be here for you in this moment. Because like she sees the pain you're going through. And you can tell that in this moment, like... that your sire really does care for you. And like, and then you mention the bowling tournament, and then you can see like the frustration sort of like covering your face like a cloud for a brief moment. And then you see her like push down the frustration with like the realization that this is something Quinn cares about. So I'm gonna try to care about it too.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I suggest either canceling this tournament, or if you can, move it to a time of day that it cannot be menaced by any kindred.
Fuck.
Bijou did not know what they signed up for.
Okay. I need to talk to Kyle then, because it was changed for some reason, but they didn't say why. Oh my god, the Firehouse Pool has their annual championship usually during the day. It's like a big thing. It's like a family thing. So like kids can come and watch and play, and the arcade is all open. But no, they changed it to 7.
Sudden. This was sudden, yes?
Yeah.
Change to after dark. Makes me suspect kindred influence.
Why? No offense. I mean, no offense to me, I guess, but why would they care about my bowling league?
There is a number of individuals I have been at odds with in the past. And I can imagine that one of them might view hurting you as a way of hurting me. Sins of the Sire, I'm sorry to say, can have painful echoes in the lives of their childer.
I guess we're even then. Sorry.
That's exactly what she did.
Pressure spiked my veins.
Even now, I do not regret for a second embracing you as my child.
Whatever you think is best.
She says, something to note. The purpose of your Questari coterie being brought together is to put a definitive end to a feud she has with a bishop of the Sabbat by the name of Stanislaus.
I knew she was in a feud, but I didn't know who with. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so, after a, at times, extremely tense, along with moments of surprising tenderness in this conversation with your sire, we fade out on the scene and fade in on a trap house similar to the one that LJ haunted, but in a different part of the neighborhood of Riverdale. Mm. The coat of paint is peeling, the lawn is unkempt, but the building still provides shelter from people who have nowhere else to go. As he exits onto the porch of this trap house, standing at the bottom of the stoop is a black teenager about maybe 16 years old, wearing a Baby Chorus band t-shirt. He looks up at you.
Hey buddy, you don't want to be in this area. This is not a good area.
Sort of looks up at you. Thanks for the warning. You seem like a nice enough guy. But I don't know you. And two canines extend into fangs. And that is where we will pause our chronicle for tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, fucking hell. Shit, every time.